You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, y'all? This is Kenny Anderson. Y'all listening to the Conway Street Podcast.
Hey, guess who's back? It's the your second favorite Latino on this podcast. We know Joel's the favorite one, right? You got Sean Ducci here, of course.
Hey, first favorite white person right here.
I thought you were black.
Nope.
Well, Dick Gelso thought you were black the first time he heard
Never.
You.
Never. Nope.
He was way off on that one.
Nope.
What up, fellas?
Man, I feel like it's been like weeks since the three of us have done a show together, but it hasn't even been that long, has it?
It's been a couple weeks. I was in Nashville. Weeks. There's the white thing coming out right there, man. Yeah.
We all had our vacation. I finally got mine.
I'm thinking of being white now.
Hey, you went camping, so don't fucking talk about that.
Yeah, Joel went camping for like 2 weeks.
In New Hampshire, just for a week.
Joel had a residency up there for like a month.
I went to work in Nashville. Hey, right? Hey, it's the difference.
Hey, there was a lot of Latinos in this particular campsite, so I felt right at home.
Yeah. But you know what?
We're all roasting pigs. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the time to do it, right?
Chicken cerveza.
This is the time to do it because this is like the slowest part of the off season. But, fellas, the Celtics did release the regular season schedule, so that's what we're going to talk about
Woo-hoo!
Here. This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. There's a lot to get into because, obviously.
So, we're going to talk about all 82 games.
We got all friends. Yeah.
Game one.
We got all friends coming back to Boston, and we're going to preview all 82 games of the regular season, guys.
Can you look ahead? No, this is my episode, man.
One minute per game, guys. Let's do it,
all right? All right. 82 minutes. Buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. We're going.
And then we'll have the quickest, in case you missed it, you ever heard. We'll take our trip around the league, and we'll go through the headlines on this episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. Because everyone's so stoked about this season. And, of course, I am, too. You know, you think about all the changes that have happened. Everyone's ready to see what Kemba Walker is going to be able to do. And if you look at the schedule and these marquee matchups, man, the first game of the season in Philadelphia against Al Horford and the Sixers. And Sean, I know you're excited to see the Celtics get that first win against Philadelphia because you don't believe in this team whatsoever. You do not believe in Philly whatsoever.
It's in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia.
All right. So there's a little bit of...
So if the Celtics blow them out, you will be the happiest guy in this room right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe in the 76ers.
Yeah. You'll be the first one to say, I told you so.
No. Yep. I told you so right now. I can guarantee it.
Blowout?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. Like
81 more games to preview now.
114 to 86, I think.
All right. Game two.
Game two. Come on.
Home opener against the NBA champion Toronto Raptors.
Well, if you look at the track record, the Celtics should be able to win this game. Okay. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the Celtics, they have a chance to tack on another win after the Sixers have dropped 10 of the last 13. That's including, of course, postseason play when the Celtics knocked them off in five games two playoffs ago. So the Celtics do have this team's number.
Yeah, but Al Horford's there now.
Is that what we sound like? You're trying to imitate the Pavones right now?
The whack-ass fucking Jimmy Butler bullshit shot that he made, that he was like staring Remember that? That's the.
That's right.
And he had, lost to the fucking Sixers.
Guess who ain't there no more? Jimmy Butler. I've been telling you that.
He had like the worst game before that too. Yeah,
it was awful. True.
Clutch
it was awful.
Though. I'm telling you. So the 76ers this year, everyone's high on the 76ers. I've seen a lot of 76ers to the finals predictions. No way. No way. They are four seed. And if the Brooklyn experiment sort of works out, they're five seed.
Let me tell you real quick why I think the Sixers, because there's a difference between, at least in my opinion, between being a contender in terms of making it to the finals and a championship contender being able to win the finals. I think they can make it there because I think in a 7-game series, if they were to match up against like the Bucks, for instance, I think they got the Bucks' number.
So I think I think
Philly over the Bucks?
No, I don't disagree with the fact that you're saying there's a difference between a finals contender and a championship contender because the East is so tight. Yeah. I think the East is tight right now. I think you have 4 to 5 teams.
Like it's all about matchups at the end of the day.
Yeah, you have 4 to 5 teams that would you be surprised if the Celtics, the Bucks, the 76ers, the Nets, or the Pacers made it to the finals? Would you be surprised?
The Nets, yeah.
The Nets.
I'd be very surprised.
Okay.
Unless Kevin Durant made an amazing comeback.
That's what I mean. But Kevin Durant's
going to. In March.
Yeah, right. But if Kevin Durant came back.
If he came back like game 1 of the playoffs, I'd be like, whoa, fuck.
But I'm just saying, okay, let's say four and a half teams. We'll say the Brooklyn's like a fake team.
I don't know about the Pacers. We don't know how Oladipo's going to come back, though. I'm just saying.
Like,
that's
they got better. They got better.
I'm not saying that they didn't, but.
And then I think the Pacers are legit.
Oladipo is the you know, seeing how he's.
I'm just saying
rebounds.
Everyone's high on the Bucks, and I think the Bucks are going to have a great regular season. I do. I don't.
Yeah, they're a regular season team.
Yeah, they're a regular season team. I think sort of same with the way the 76ers are built.
I get it. The Lopez twin brothers are there, but outside of
it's going to be like
outside of that and onto the Kumpo, it's like. You know, if Chris Middleton is your second best player, after the Celtics series, he didn't do shit else last season.
But I mean, the 76ers could be in the discussion. I don't think they're going to have a great regular season, but I think, to your point, in a 7-game series, they have people that have been there before. So yeah, I mean, would I be surprised if anyone came out of the East going to the finals? Not really. But I do think there is a clear pecking order of when you're talking about championship contenders. Like, do you have talent to win a championship? I think.
Because you did say a couple episodes ago that anybody from the East is going to be a champion this year. And I disagree with that.
Well, I think this is the year
that
something's
coming to
the year that the door is open is this year. Because there's so much shakeup in the West. Even with additions, even with teams getting better, year one never works out for those dudes. You have a team in Boston that's been together as a core. You have a team in Milwaukee that's been together as a core. You have a team in Philadelphia that's been together as a core.
Except for Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors.
Right, but...
And Kawhi Leonard. So let me ask you this, though. You think the Clippers are better or worse than last year's Raptors? Right now, as they're constructed. Don't think too hard.
I think they are probably...
The answer is
better.
They're way better. Why did you take so long to answer?
Just because of Paul George. That's
hold
it.
On. That's it.
That's it.
Because that bench.
I'm just saying because the.
But I'm talking
Raptors
about continuity. I'm talking about continuity. Okay. All the Raptors did. The Raptors were a good team. The Raptors were a squad, right? They just didn't have that guy to put him over the top. Kawhi was that guy. Everything else, all the bits and pieces and role players,
that's
were
fine.
Already there.
But who was the second best player on the Raptors last season?
Siakam.
Okay, so is Paul George better than Siakam?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. That's
but
all I'm
that
saying.
doesn't
yeah,
ring
I don't
true.
Think it's that simple. But
it's not that simple. That's what I'm trying
true.
To say.
I just think the rest of that team is what makes the Clippers so deep and so strong because they have other guys, not just about those two guys. Because if that was the case, then we would say, "Oh, look at the Lakers. The Lakers have the best duo in the NBA between LeBron James and Anthony Davis."
That's not true.
Okay, whatever. It's up for debate.
It's arguable.
It's neck and neck. Right. It's arguable. But what puts the Clippers over the top is the fact that they have the other guys. Lakers don't have those guys.
Well,
yeah. They're not as deep as the Clippers.
All I'm trying to say with my thing about the Eastern Conference, the reason why the door is open this year is because all these teams in the East have had their squads like put together. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's been the same stars or for the Celtics.
You have to wait and see how it comes.
You know, the 76ers, you've been building around Embiid and Simmons for years now. You've added a couple pieces. Mm-hmm. The Bucks, you've been building around Antetokounmpo and Middleton. The Celtics, it's Tatum and Brown and Brad Stevens, right? I mean, those having the continuity of years of going for it and going for it and going for it, and then you make those additions, that's the recipe for success, in my opinion. I don't think, other than the Warriors, which is unfair anyways.
Well,
the Warriors are in the same boat. Like, I think there's a very low success rate for year one of super teams.
It's true. All right, so then why aren't we talking about the Raptors then? If all they technically lost was Kawhi.
The best player in the NBA.
What are you talking about? Yeah, they don't have the guy to put him over the top.
They lost the best player in the NBA.
You should have a squad brings in a great player or brings in pieces, right?
Okay, so then that goes to my point. As I'm not saying that Paul George is the end-all, be-all when it comes to the Clippers, but another guy like Paul George, a top-10 player, arguably a top-10 player in the league, the Raptors don't have that. They lost one, and they don't have another.
Yeah, the Raptors are fucked.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in terms of, like, someone coming out of the East this year, I don't see them winning at all.
Well, the first thing that you notice about the schedule, especially in the first week, is the fact that the Celtics have to play the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly to start off the season.
Yep.
And then a week later, they get to host the Bucks. So those are two great tests, two great
And the Raptors are in there too, right?
To start the regular season. The Raptors are game two. That's going to be the home opener for the Celtics.
And hey, say what you want about the Raptors. They're not as bad as Cleveland was when they won the East and then it was like, hey, right. Everyone goes
when
to
Cleveland.
When
it was Kyrie Irving going back to Cleveland for the first time and Gordon Hayward got hurt and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But right. I don't know. I think obviously you can't take a lot from game one, but I do think it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I think that game means a lot more for Philadelphia than it means for Boston.
Right, because to my point, they've had the Celtics have had their number for so many outings, and I think, in my opinion, the way they courted Al Horford was in the sense of, you have been the biggest problem for us. You know how to defend Joel Embiid. You make things difficult for us on both ends of the floor. If we can put you on our team, this is going to put us over the top. Now we can be neck and neck with the Milwaukee Bucks, because right now, especially at least at that time, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. But in my mind, they're thinking, okay, whether Kawhi stays or leaves, we need to strengthen our defense. And Al Horford is the guy that we need to court to make our defense that much better.
I agree.
I don't. I think it's crazy to think that you're getting rid of Jimmy Butler and adding Al Horford.
Well, you didn't get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't want to stay that way.
Yeah, I
don't think they were like, okay, let's let him walk. We're going to go get Al Horford. I don't think it was that simple.
I know, but it's simple like, hey, Jimmy Butler left and we signed Al Horford.
Jimmy Butler left and we had to pick between the two. We wanted Jimmy.
And they re-signed.
We got to re-up Tobias Harris and then we have some money to play with here. Let's go grab Al Horford.
I don't know, gents. I'm not sold on Philly. I'll wait till I see it on the court.
You weren't also sold on the Raptors last year.
I'm not sold on Philly. Well, you got me surprised. I also thought Kawhi was going to play. I did say if Kawhi played, he would be the best player in the East, but I didn't think he was going to play.
Well, I'm surprised that you even give the Brooklyn Nets a chance of cracking the top four when you talk about Kyrie Irving playing without Kevin Durant. So we're not going to see that happen this year, or at least anytime soon. But you think that this team is good enough to be that high, at least top four, in the Eastern Conference, because we're going to see Kyrie come back to Boston for the first time the day before Thanksgiving. And I know you're more excited than anybody to see the crowd's reaction to hearing Kyrie Irving be introduced as a member of the Brooklyn Nets for the first time at TD Garden.
That's my favorite day of the year. That's my favorite day of the year, man. I love the day before Thanksgiving.
I think we were here last year.
I think we were here last year.
The day before Thanksgiving. You're going to throw another party here?
Turn it up in Causeway Street Studios. I don't know. Let's go to the game, man. Fuck it. Yeah, you'll be at the game, man. What are you talking about?
You'll definitely be there.
I should be there, yeah.
You'll definitely be there.
Do I think the Nets have a chance to be the four seed? Yeah, I do. Just because I don't believe in Kyrie, obviously. You guys know that.
So then what makes...
But I believe in the Nets and what they had there. I've been rooting... I've been talking about this Nets squad.
But you know Kyrie's going to get all the credit if all those guys come up big throughout the season.
I can't help who gets the credit. I like Caris LeVert. I like
the best scorer from last season is gone. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but the best player on the team is Caris LeVert.
Scorer. I didn't say player.
All right.
So, yeah, Kyrie's going to get his. So it's like, I think roster wise, they're the same as last season, in my opinion. You got one All Star, and a bunch of young guys.
Yeah, which I think the young guys.
Yeah, but Kyrie's not D'Angelo Russell. Yeah,
no, I'm not. But I'm just saying, like, roster wise, because we still don't know how that's gonna fit.
No, I know, but you said one All Star. I think one's a little significantly better than the other.
Yeah.
But
on paper,
I just don't see them getting that high in the standings.
And on the court,
huh? No, but I'm just saying, but on paper, but like,
as much as we want to shit on Kyrie, and I shit on Kyrie more than anything, he's better player than D'Angelo.
Okay, he is, but like, I'm talking about points production. It's the same. He has a couple more points than Russell last year.
Yeah. I don't know.
And no Durant.
I believe in the Nets, like, young players, because I think they did a good thing there. They hit on a couple players. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. Who's the other guy I'm missing out? Oh, it's my boy, Dinwiddie. Yeah, you add Kyrie into that lineup. I don't know. Maybe he learned from his mistakes in Boston. Who the fuck knows? Probably not, because he's a fucking moron.
What I want to know, or what I want to...
Complete opposite of what you were saying last week, but go ahead.
What I want to
see... I don't believe in Kyrie.
I know, but you were saying that he's going to be exposed in Brooklyn, but yet you got him as a fourth seed.
I'm telling you, I think they can compete for the fourth seed, but I don't think it's going to be because of Kyrie.
All right.
I think if you had just ran it back with D'Angelo Russell, this team would have been a four seed. I would have said, just like, if you remember, when I was talking about the 76ers as they were coming up, and I was like, yo, this team's going to be a playoff team. Everyone was laughing at it. Yeah, that's exactly how the Nets were last year. And then this year, they should make the jump. Now, will Kyrie destroy it? Probably, but there's still a chance they can make the four seed with all the shit that happened last year with the Celtics. They still with a four seed.
Any chance Kyrie addresses the franchise? Okay, well, he's probably going to address the franchise because he's going to be forced into it by a question. But any chance that he just sheds a little bit of light as to what happened last year or why things didn't work out when he gets these questions after the game? Or before the game?
What are you going to ask him, bro?
I can't even think that far ahead, man.
No, I said last episode, get me a media pass, bro. I want to be at that game, bro. Tell Nick. I'll ask the fucking stupid hard questions. I'll ask him what he's doing for Thanksgiving. I'll ask him.
That's the first question you come up with.
as he's going to be wearing a shirt that has a turkey.
Yep.
That's has a bubble saying "fuck Kyrie."
Yep. With a pilgrim hat on.
Yeah, with a pilgrim hat on, because you know
it's his cosmic shit on the back.
Yeah, because we all know how he feels about that, because he is Native American.
Well,
go ahead.
You know what? Hey, not gonna lie, man. Thanksgiving happened. All right? We can complain about it all you want, but it fucking happened. You're the one that gave us the turkeys. I mean, no one said to give us the turkeys. You couldn't let them die. All right? You did something nice. We celebrate it. And now you're going to say it's not a good holiday. Because what?
I don't know. Because the Native Americans got
that was goddamn years
got,
later.
Got and slaughtered and then moved out of, you know, the Trail of Tears and all that.
Okay. Well, guess what?
Get that savage off my property. They were just yelling at him.
Okay. Yeah. Things didn't go very well after
they
that
stole,
Thanksgiving.
Stole land,
but that one day was great.
Oil and shit. Go ahead.
Dude, I'm just saying that one day in 1600 and fucking whatever was a good day. And that's what we celebrate. We don't celebrate all the other shit.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was a good day when Christopher Columbus thought he discovered, America as well.
Damn, man. It was. He fucking found new land. Imagine that shit. You find new land.
Sean's like, I got a day off now because of it. I got a paid day off because of it.
Just think about it. Like, yeah, I get it. He was a fucking asshole and went to kill people when he got there. But I mean, think of that moment where you're like, they're like, hey, Chris, my man, there's no other new land. What the fuck's your obsession with traveling on the, what?
It's the West Indies, bro.
He's like, no, there's West Indies out there. I know it.
You guys are Indian, right?
I've predicted this place was West India, so you guys are Indian, right?
No,
we're not.
Totally different place. and we still call them Indians, dude.
I don't. You do. You do. I don't. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I mean, as
I'm just saying,
the country. Most people still call they still say the Indians.
I'm just gonna say this. Thanksgiving.
You have to differentiate by saying like dot, not feather.
Thanksgiving is, that's you, man. That's not me. Thanksgiving is not.
Sean's like, I don't have to do that.
Because I call them Native Americans, man. Yeah. But Thanksgiving is not about what the fuck happened with all that shit. Thanksgiving is a time that you just come together with your family and you celebrate and you have a great meal and you have too much to drink. Hey, but you're hanging out with your family and it's a good excuse to come hang out. So fuck you, Kyrie. You just became a Native American last year. All right?
You wouldn't feel the same way if it was like DeMarcus Cousins saying fuck Thanksgiving.
Nah, man.
Or Marcus Smart.
Nah, man. Nah, man. He's like a millennial Native American.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Sean's like, oh, you think because you watch a bunch of YouTube videos and now you're woke and now you're on some fuck Thanksgiving shit?
What are you, going to preschools telling kids that's not Indian style sitting?
Pretzel style.
It's a pretzel, not Indian. All right, let's be real. No one here smoking the pipe. All right.
All right, before Sean continues to go down this dark path.
Hey, I didn't bring myself here.
Let's go next to another a matchup that I can't wait to see happen at TD Garden on Martin Luther King Day. And don't go there, Sean.
No, I'm... Fuck you. before
don't get me started on Martin Luther King. I had a dream now.
Well, I had to go there.
Another great...
Sean's like, Malcolm X is the one.
if you want to know who really had a dream... No, I'm just... this has gone off the rails. All right.
The Lakers are in town. Anthony Davis. I'm sure the crowd's going to be so happy to see him in a Lakers uniform. LeBron James back at TD Garden. Remember last time that he was here? Your boy Rajon Rondo hit the game winner, Joel.
Yeah.
It was quite a game.
I wasn't even mad at it.
Quite a finish.
Did LeBron play?
Yeah, he did.
He did play. He was chucking up shots in the first half. He was mailing it in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the young guys made a comeback. And he was like, oh, wait a minute. We can actually win this game.
Guess it's not going to happen this year because all those young guys are gone.
No comeback? You're saying Celtics going to flat out beat them?
I don't know. What's like in February?
Come on, man. We're previewing all 82 games here.
Yeah, you skip mad games.
Dude, we're not going to preview all 82 games, Sean.
No, tell me about when does Charlotte come to town? When does Terry Rozier make a comeback?
In the preseason. So we'll see. Oh, by the way, does he get booed? Some people think he's going to actually get booed.
Yeah, if anyone boos Scary Terry, man, okay. We got a problem.
No, because that was a talking point. Nah, I forget where I saw it.
Who was a talking point?
That what would happen when Terry Rozier comes back.
Yeah, people, he better get a tribute video.
Terry Rozier gets a tribute
video. Yeah, Evan Turner got a tribute video.
That's going to be a conversation.
Evan Turner got a tribute video.
That's going to be a
Terry
conversation.
Terry Rozier got a tribute video.
I mean,
he better get one.
Not that I agreed with it, but Evan Turner was a different personality than
Terry Rozier. Yo, get the fuck. Terry Rozier was a key cog into our trip to an Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't know, Joel. Not for nothing, but Scary Terry is the reason why he's getting about $20 million per year.
Oh, yeah. And he fucking hates it, by the way.
2018.
He hates being called Scary Terry.
Yeah, but he loved that whole movement. Though,
he was wearing the shirts with Drew Bledsoe, all right? He didn't hate the Scary Terry shit then. He can't hate it now.
He didn't know it was going to take off like that, though.
What are you talking about? You don't know if it's going to take off.
No, this was before. When it first started, you know, becoming a thing on Celtics Twitter, he was not crazy about it. But then once he stepped it up on the court and he saw all the t-shirts in the crowd and he saw this like movement and he started on ESPN, once it was national, he loved it. Come on. How could you not? That's what happened.
He got a shoe deal out of it.
Yeah. I like how NBA players think they can control their nickname too. It's like, bro. Yeah,
you're giving a nickname.
You can't give yourself a nickname.
Right.
Like, we call you Scary Terry.
Right. You don't show up on time, you get called the Time Lord.
Time Lord. Shut the fuck up.
He hates that nickname.
Yeah, shut up. Don't be late.
You have no say in this. All right.
Speaking of that, who says he's got down game 42?
I'm not done with the Lakers here.
Oh, all right.
Let's just throw a prediction here. Where do the Lakers, in your mind, Sean, let's start with you. Where do the Lakers rank in the Western Conference? It's tough.
They are a tough team to gauge.
I'm going to lose a lot of sleep this year because I'm going to watch all these Western Conference matchups, man. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
I think
there's so many teams out there.
I think they are.
Especially the bottom half of the playoff top eight. Because think about it. The bottom half, I wouldn't be shocked if the Lakers found themselves outside of the top four.
I was just going to say that. I think they're a four seed.
Okay.
I think they're a four seed because I think Rockets, Clippers, and I would probably still put the Warriors ahead of the Lakers, man.
That's fair.
I think you got to.
I mean, you got the Warriors. They have a chip on their shoulder. They're like, oh, everyone forgot about us. We're still around here. You know, you think they think that this quote unquote era is over? No, in their mind, they're like, no, this is what we had before, and we've won a championship with this core.
I also think the Nuggets are going to have a great regular season too.
Can't sleep on the Nuggets. Can't sleep on Utah. I can't wait to see what Utah's going to do.
I don't know. I'm not a Utah guy.
Do you not understand how Mike Conley has been thinking that his career is going to die in Memphis, and now he's going to be rejuvenated out west?
You think that's going to get them above the Lakers, though?
I mean, they can fight for it.
They could be the fifth or sixth seed. You were
which one of you were high on the Pacers last year? It was you. Bogdanovich is on that team now. That was the second best player.
Oh, yeah, my man, Bogdan Bogdanovich, huh?
Yeah, it's your guy.
Still, do you believe Donovan Mitchell's the guy that's going to be the best player on that team in a loaded Western Conference? Like, they have...
Yeah, I think he has to be. I think it's...
But
a,
I don't
this is a big spot for him because now he
I don't think he's there. That reason why I don't believe in the Jazz, because I don't truly believe in Donovan Mitchell as, like... going above where he's been.
Okay.
I think the ceiling is where it is.
Has to happen for them to be
yep.
well,
to make a deep playoff.
Like Jokic, I believe in Jokic now. I was a Jokic doubter, but now after last year, I believe in Jokic, and I believe that's why the Nuggets have all those pieces around him. I think he's a MVP candidate.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think Mitchell had a down year last season because there was so much expectation for the Jazz because of what they did the year before. And they weren't anything. They weren't any higher than what a fifth seed last year.
Yeah, Mitchell didn't even have a bad year. He had the exact same year as his rookie year. Which is why I'm saying.
But I mean, it was down because he didn't take that next. He didn't take that leap. Yeah. Exactly.
This is the year he has.
This is the year. Especially
sort of reminiscent of Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Well, I mean, because of the whole Team USA training camp when they go to the FIBA World Cup, I think Mitchell is going to be a big part of that squad.
Tatum's the best player on that team.
That's false, but. We'll just stick to Mitchell for right now. No, to answer your question about the Lakers, I think they'll fight between 2, 3, and 4. I don't think they won't surpass the Clippers, in my opinion. The Warriors are being slept on. You mentioned another team, man. No, I just
Houston.
I'm not worried about Houston.
What are the Warriors going to do with? I just thought of this right now. We mentioned D'Angelo Russell. Yeah.
Nothing.
When does he get traded?
Trade deadline.
When Klay Thompson comes back.
Yeah. If Klay's back, we're ready by the trade deadline, he's out.
If Klay Thompson's back, like Klay Thompson.
He's just a placeholder at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, we need a second shooter. Because
like, this whole thing Draymond Green ain't it. This whole thing doesn't work with one shooter.
Yeah.
I just picture him like on the corner, like just like talking to Steph. Hey, Steph, whenever you're ready, man. I got you, bro. Hey, Steph. Hey, Steph, I'm over here. Okay. Oh, no, you got that. Oh, good play, man. Good play. Like, it's just a completely different role to what he's accustomed to.
Quote unquote honorary splash brother until the other guy comes back.
He's just never been in this position before. Yeah. He's always been the guy, quote unquote, the guy.
You think when the Warriors called him, he was like, oh, fuck.
Yo, there was no one. There weren't a line of teams.
Play for a championship contender?
There weren't a line of teams, you know, arguing or fighting each other for D'Angelo Russell's fucking services. Not even the Nets.
He was probably like, I was really thinking I could go to a bad team again. No pressure, you know.
Or a similar situation where you're fighting for a playoff spot. You're the main guy. You can prove that last year wasn't a fluke, you know.
You can't say no to the Warriors, but I don't think he really fits there.
It'll be interesting. Because imagine if he
does.
Imagine if he thrives.
Yeah.
Imagine if he's a big reason why they stay afloat until Klay Thompson comes back.
Just like Nick Young was.
If he's Nick Young, I don't know, man.
No, he's not Nick Young.
Nick Young had like a good like 3 weeks going. I think I had him on my fantasy team because he was balling out. And then it was like, oh, he showed why he's Nick Young. And then,
by the way,
you know,
don't forget
the reason why he's not NBA.
The laws of the averages, you know, proved itself.
And that's what I think D'Angelo Russell's gonna have.
Because averages, don't
forget, that averages averages because they're averages.
They're averages.
There it is.
If you,
I've heard that in a while.
It's been a minute.
If you
diehard Causeway listeners know about that one.
If you look at D'Angelo Russell's career, he had one All-Star season, and that's it. And I don't think he's peaking. I think he's streaky.
I feel like he got selected too because he was like a replacement for somebody.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
That happens every year. Come on, give it to him. He's an All-Star.
I don't think that it's going to be like a great place for him to grow as a player. Like I don't. I think there's probably going to be some time in about late November, early December where they're like, hey. D'Angelo Russell's removed from the starting lineup. He's coming off the bench now because it's just not a good fit. Yeah. Like we're gonna start.
I can see that. Yeah.
We're gonna start fucking some young guy instead.
What if it becomes Cook? What if it becomes Lou Williams?
Cook's on the Lakers.
What if he becomes Lou Williams 2.0? Comes off the bench and just lights it up.
Yeah. What if he was drafted number 2 overall and didn't do shit for the first 3 years of his career?
I don't see your point.
I'm saying it's D'Angelo Russell, man. It's not.
What's your point?
He didn't do anything. He was drafted overall as number 2 pick, and he was supposed to be this guy that's supposed to be able to come off the bench and score. And it took him a very long time to do that. It took him the perfect situation to find that.
Not,
I just don't know how you're going to. That's why I didn't want the Celtics to sign him, and I don't think that he's going to be an All-Star next year. No way.
I mean, not that I'm defending Russell here, D Russ or whatever they're calling him these days.
D-Lo.
What the fuck?
Which, anyway. By the way, Derek Lowe should be pissed.
Yeah, he should be.
You've brought this up before.
And, I mean, when you put him, I think when you put him in a situation where he's in right now, he'll thrive. Same thing with the Nets. Like, the Nets were a playoff team last year, and he was able to thrive in that. But you put him on the Lakers in his first 2 or 3 years in the league, it was shitty. And he was playing with Kobe Bryant, who just at that point of his career, he's like, I'm not going to the fucking championship anytime soon. I'm not going to go to the finals. So
I'll just drop 60 my last
game. Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking. So.
And yo, he also told funny. On Nick Young, too.
That's funny you mentioned that before about the whole D'Lo thing. I remember thinking, whose nickname is D'Lo? And then you said, that's Derek Lowe. I was like, oh, that's right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Boston fans should hate that nickname.
Derek right. Lowe, baby.
Yeah, people forget how important Derek Lowe was.
But it was Celtics fans that they were like, oh, good D'Lo.
The only person to start in all three clinching games.
And you remember he wasn't. Post-season. But you remember he wasn't a starter at first.
No, he wasn't.
He was almost left off the playoff roster.
Yeah.
Sox are down 0-3. Oh, now you guys need me, huh? All right.
He was a fucking head all case, right. too. He was a fucking head case.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I love Derek Lowe.
He was misunderstood.
Love Derek Lowe.
All right, so this game comes in January, which is the busiest month of the season for the Boston Celtics this season, or this upcoming season. The Celtics will play 16 games in 28 days. So 2 days after New Year's, that's the stretch that they're looking at. So this will be the busiest, the most difficult part of the season in terms of a lot of back-to-backs here. So that'll be interesting. And another matchup that'll be interesting is the last game before the All-Star break against the Los Angeles Clippers here in Boston. Great measuring stick for the Celtics, of course, because that'll be right before the All-Star break. We'll see where they're at in the Eastern Conference standings. And we get to see Kawhi Leonard in Boston and see how the Celtics are going to be able to play against a potential championship team. So I can't wait for that matchup. And also...
Yo, they don't play on Super Bowl Sunday?
No, first time in a minute.
And also, Sean, you got a big weekend after that Clippers matchup. What are you doing that weekend?
No, I'll be in the Dominican.
What are you going to do over there? You got a little vacation?
Got a little married. No, I'm just...
Get a little married.
I'm just saying,
I love how he was looking at the thing like it was on there. Like, what am I doing that
No, because I was looking.
I see a couple of stars and...
I'm traveling...
At the schedule like...
Wait. I'm traveling from the 12th to the 19th and the Celtics only play one game. I'm only going to miss one game, man. That's not bad.
Well, it's probably... It's like
I don't see it on here, Sway. Why you have me looking at this?
Well, it's on national TV, so you can watch it. You can watch it in DR.
Fuck yeah.
And I'll meet you there.
Watch it on the Deportes.
I'll meet you there right after. You know what? Probably right after the game, I'll probably catch a flight right to DR.
There you go.
I won't sleep.
There you go.
I'm ready to go. Can't wait.
Yeah, man, I knew I was getting fucking married. I was just looking at the schedule. Jesus Christ.
So why'd you take like 15 seconds to finally...
Because
remember what you're doing that weekend.
You were squinting hard on there like, I don't see what he's talking about.
So this will play on ESPN, TNT... and ABC, or ABC, I should say, 25 times this season. So they'll be on national TV a lot.
That sucks.
Why does that suck?
Because you get Les Gorman.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Not necessarily. Some of those games, you can go on the
local. But not the ABC games. Not
Well, the ABC games are just like Sunday matinees.
Yeah. All right.
So.
All right. And Saturday night probably games.
I think, anyway, and plus Gorman, as years go on, he's already taking games off, so.
That means you get plenty of scowl.
Yeah. Bite your fucking tongue.
No, but I'm not in a bad way. He's allowed, man. He's been doing this shit for over 40 years, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sean's like,
Tommy can take days off.
Sean's like, wait a minute. You saying he's calling it quit soon?
Nah, that's not what I'm saying.
Yo, Mike Gorman better die.
Oh, my God.
Doing the Celtics broadcast. Like, he better not retire. He better go Johnny Most on us. You know what I mean? Just, like, do it until you die.
You know Sean Grant is thinking, like, oh, man, when is this dude going to fucking quit?
Yeah, never.
Because he wants that spot.
He should never quit. He should legitimately do it until he dies.
You think Grant will ever do TV?
No.
Does it translate?
I don't know.
It does not translate.
His the way he
feels
does
time.
His thing, yeah, he well, doesn't, yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want to do TV. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe too.
Yeah, he should do TV.
He's done it before. He has.
I think that Draper probably thinks he's going to get it, but that shit ain't happening. And they're gonna bring in some guy from like Sacramento or some shit. It'll be weird for a couple of years, and then they'll find a guy that'll work for after Gorman. But
man, that's when we're gonna really feel old.
Yeah,
Mike Gorman's not
Gorman
stops.
Yo, telling you, man.
I love that commercial.
We still got 10 more. We still got 10 to 15 more years, man. Because if he's probably like 70 right now, let's say he's 75. He's gonna live till he's 90. He could probably broadcast. He could probably broadcast until he's fucking 85.
I love that commercial they run where they said, like, if you're below the age 50, that's all you know is Mike Gorman calling the game.
Yeah. It's like, damn.
That's crazy. Even Mike was just like, shit. Never thought about it like that.
Yeah, if you were born after 1981.
I bet you it was at that moment he was like thinking about his demise, just like what you're talking about right now.
By the way, I didn't say I want him to die.
you kind of did. You're like, yo, he better die. Then you pause.
You want him to take this job to the grave with him. I got you.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You're like, he better die. Space.
I paused. It was an inconvenient pause.
Doing the Celtics. So it's almost like you were like, yo, I hope in the middle of a game, he's just like.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No. Kemba, no. That's Kemba not what I'm saying.
Kemba for the win.
Yo, fuck you. Don't fucking say that.
Exactly how you sounded
yo,
like, bro.
I, yo, come on. You know what I was trying to say.
Scott was like, we need a doctor over here.
Oh, my God.
Tommy doesn't realize, though. It's one of the games where it's him and Tommy, and he's just like, Kemba for the win. And then Tommy's just like, yeah. And he looks over.
Oh, Tommy wouldn't like, realize for a while.
Yeah, he's just like, oh. Hey, Mike, what happened? Mike. Oh, hey.
Yeah, this is fucked up radio. I was just saying I hope he takes the job. All the way until he dies.
You know, if Mia Sway said it the way you said it, you would have been like, bro, you want him to fucking die?
That's why
like
I fucking...
in the middle of a game?
That's why I came back and said I need to correct this shit, because I knew I paused at the wrong time.
Oh, man. All right. On that note,
we don't hold. Let's just clear this up. We don't hold Mike Gorman.
You're the one that fucking broad did a fucking remake of him dying on the air. You sick fuck.
You reenacted his
You
death.
Fucking reenacted. You even did Tommy? What? You brought Tommy into this shit? You think Mike's going to outlive him? You think Tommy's going to outlive Mike?
It's not a reenactment because it didn't happen. Yeah, I know.
It's an enactment, all right? Yeah. You're enacting it.
That's how it sounded like out of your fucking mouth.
And by the way, Tommy's going to outlive fucking Mike Gorman? You think Tommy's going to outlive Mike Gorman?
Yeah.
What the f... What? No.
Come on, bro.
Tommy.
Come on, bro.
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your go-to site for online betting. Head over to BetOnline.ag and make sure you enter the promo code CLNS50. You'll get 50% bonus on your first deposit. Do not miss out on this special offer. A minimum deposit of $55 is required in order to qualify for the bonus. So make sure you do that, guys. All right. Plenty of baseball action going on. We got preseason NFL. And before you know it, you can win big money before the regular season starts. So don't miss out on this. Also have the online casino. So there's plenty of money to win there. This offer is not going to always be there. So don't miss out, guys. Head over to betonline.ag and make sure you enter the promo code CLNS50. Right now, you don't want to miss out. Please see BetOnline's general rules for additional terms and conditions regarding the bonuses. BetOnline.ag. Again, BetOnline.ag. And don't forget that promo code, CLNS50.
There's no way Tommy outlives Mike Gorman.
This is terrible. Why are we doing this right now? Can we please get into it in case you missed it?
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
All right, Joel, what you got?
In case you missed it, Kyle Lowry has officially withdrawn from Team USA training camp. Still hasn't been cleared to play basketball pretty much since his surgery on his thumb in early July. So he's just like, I'm just going to get on my spot and not force the issue. So that's good for Marcus Smart because he still has a shot right there for him to make the squad even after the first round of cuts.
Wait, so is Marcus Smart all right though? Is he clear to play yet?
He is not clear to play yet.
How'd you say it like that?
I want to do the pause like Sean did
over
fuck
here.
Fuck you. Yeah, he's planning on returning. He's not pushing the issue in terms of like, because he took himself out of practice early last week because he had a sore left ankle. Then it turns out it was a left calf that ended up being sore, not an injury.
I need Marcus out, man. He needs to rest the fuck up, man.
Yeah, I hate to say it. That's what's best for him right now. But I hate to say that because I don't think out of all the Celtics players that are there, no one's more excited for this than Marcus Smart.
And Marcus had a chance to make it the team, too.
Yeah, I think all four of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, that too. But I just think Marcus Smart would have been that edge. You know, I think that's why he got called up to begin with.
Right,
you know?
But I'm just saying, like, Marcus, we've seen his injury pass. We know how he can have a little nagging injury and it turns into like 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm. Well, I mean, he's
chill the fuck out. This is not, it's not worth it, man. You know, it's not worth it.
Well, I mean, it's just soreness. It's not like.
Nope. I heard that before, Marcus.
Yeah,
man.
Well, that's true. It's not like he
didn't injure himself.
It's not like he freaking punched a, you know. a picture frame, you know? So
I mean, he was out for like 7 weeks after he punched that picture.
I know, that's why I'm saying that. But that
he
was,
he also
self inflicted.
It was rookie season. Remember his rookie season? He was balling out. Then he did something to his leg.
But don't you think he's matured now? Freaking 6 years later.
I'm saying you can't control the way he plays. The way he plays is like balls to the wall. It's like
he's not going to limit himself.
He's a little bit of injury prone. So like if you're going up against,
isn't that a good sign that he took himself out? Because it wasn't. He said, if this was me last year or 2 years ago, 3 years, I would have kept playing. But he's taking himself out, so.
Sure. I think he's taking it easy. Better sign if he just said, you know what, I got a little tweaked. I'm good.
What are you two arguing about? Jesus. Okay. Like Marcus Smart. Okay. He did a good job taking himself out, and he should because he's not going to think twice to die for a loose ball and maybe hurt his calf again or.
I'd also be cool if the whole Celtics,
you guys agreeing, but you guys are trying to
squad
fucking
just
argue.
Bailed on the Olympics. Like now, I wouldn't be mad at that. I'm getting a little nervous
about what
injuries, bro. Paul George snapped his fucking leg. Everyone else is fucking bailing.
Yeah, you gotta worry about that for everything.
Yeah, man. I know. You know, you cross the street every day, man. You gotta be worried about that bus.
You know, Kyrie Irving could just give you a lob anytime. You know?
A fucked up one.
Could go south.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy how that's... I don't want to get into it. Never mind.
Yeah, we touched upon that last week.
You know who's been balling that Team USA? Which I do like, and I think will bring... Jimmy Butler will get the best out of this year. Is Bam Adebayo.
He just got cut, bro.
He did?
Yeah.
Well,
Michael, you really see him making the team?
Yeah, man.
I guess everyone has a shot, right?
Everyone has a shot.
Kind of hard to...
I heard he was balling out.
Kind of hard to pick and choose.
Nope.
Okay. Well, he's not balling out.
Been cut. Been slashed.
Still think he'll be good for the Heat next year. Did he also get cut by the Heat?
As far as I know, no.
Is he on the D League?
No.
Right. Cool.
As far
great,
as I know, no.
Great take, Sean.
No.
All right.
No.
So. Tatum's the best player on that Olympic basketball team.
All right, man. We get it. You think Tatum's the best player on the team?
It's not. Who, by the way,
you said no.
You said it like three times.
It's not the Olympics, though. It's the FIBA World Cup. Okay.
It's Team USA?
It's Team USA. But
then it's the Olympics.
Yeah, but this team, no one from this team, besides probably like a handful, might even be considered for the Olympic team next
year. The best player on the squad then?
It's not Tatum, bro. So Tatum's better than Kemba Walker. Yeah, long pause again.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No.
Long pause again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Tatum was in your top 25?
Talk about this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
What else you got?
In case you missed it, the NBA announced that starting this season, all 30 teams are required to have a mental health professional as part of their team.
Thanks, Jaylen Brown.
But what? Jaylen Brown has nothing to do with this?
Yeah, he does.
Why is that his fault? His
mental health coach or whatever the hell he fucking mental skills coach. Fucking taught him how to play chess better and shit.
This is something that was talked about like a year ago, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got...
The Celtics were one of the first teams to do it. So.
Yeah. Kevin Love has publicly talked about his battles with mental health.
Marcus Morris had
a... DeMar DeRozan.
Had a tough time.
Yeah.
What do they have a tough time with?
I don't know, Sean. You're asking these hard-hitting questions today, man.
Yeah, man. What the...
Yeah.
Life.
Honestly, though?
What do you mean, honestly?
They play fucking basketball.
Yeah, but they got stuff going on, man.
And get paid millions of dollars.
They got stuff going on.
What, do they not like the way they're, like...
ridiculed every single day by guys like us? Or chastised publicly? Or Marcus Morris's case, he was thinking he didn't know if he was going to be in the league anymore because he went to the G League and was getting traded around. I don't know, man. Every case is different. Get me started on mental health, all right, Sean?
Don't get me started on
I'll get going.
The fucking mental fragility of those fucking NBA players, man.
Yo, look, in an era where social media means too much for a lot of people, not just athletes.
Which is why I think mental health is a big thing because
so then
people care too much about that shit.
Well, I mean, you got athletes even after they retire committing suicide. You got athletes that are constantly battling with depression that they don't know about until after they do something that you're like, oh, he was a cry for help. No one knew. Like, we didn't know about Paul Pierce after he was stabbed 9 times. He couldn't be in a public setting when it came to like Celtics events. He was like, I didn't want to deal with that. So it's shit like that.
So if you get stabbed 9 times, yes, you can.
Well,
you can have some mental health issues. But I mean, if you grew up just playing basketball your entire life, paid millions of dollars, you're like in the 0.001% of the world. So in my opinion, talk to your mental health coach, man.
That's yeah. why he's there.
That's the point of the fucking teams having that shit.
Yep. Yep. I'm over it. All right.
Cool. And it's pretty much like professional teams having that option.
I think it's a good thing to have options for your players. It's like you, the average healthy.
The average Joe Schmo.
Do I get a fucking mental health coach?
No, I'm just saying.
You know what I mean, though? No, like, listen, what the fuck?
But if you went to your doctor and be like, yo, I want to talk to someone, it's provided for you.
I just go to work and they're like, hey, Sean, seeing you coming in with baggy eyes for the past couple of weeks. Yeah. Do you want to talk to the mental health coach? It's like another way to coddle these players, man. Like, go fucking talk to a therapist if you think you need help. Don't have a fucking team be like, hey, you want a mental health? You know what I mean? You know, I don't know, man. Like, whatever. It is what it is. Good job. There we go. All right.
Good job, NBA.
All right. And in case you missed it, the NBA.
Yeah, whatever.
The NBA had the their annual rookie photo shoot. And the only reason why I bring this up is because Sean apparently has an issue with the four Celtics rookies and their photo shoot of one particular activity of them playing in a pit full of toy balls.
Yeah.
Why?
You guys are okay with this?
No, I don't care. I just want to hear your take on it because
you guys saw this picture and were like, "Oh, cool, that's a cool picture."
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Like, who the fuck did I have running the fucking photo shoots for the rookies?
I thought you would have.
Is it like a 12-year-old fucking chick?
I thought you would have had more of an issue of like there was pictures of players carrying other players and it's like, oh, like it was like a wedding photo or some shit.
all I know is
everyone show your socks now.
I hope the mental health coach was in the fucking ball pit with these players, man. Because they get at it after that picture's taken, they're going to need to talk to a mental health coach because they're going to be ridiculed like this for the rest of their life. Like, who thought this was a good idea to be like, hey, guys.
All right, now everyone look at Grant Williams.
Picture this. You're in a ball pit. Now you're buried, but just buried enough where we can see your face and your shoes. Maybe we spread the balls out over your numbers so you can see your numbers too. Okay? They're going to know who you are. You're going to look like you're frolicking, but in a rainbow ball pit. It's going to be money.
It's like you're a child, right? You guys get it? You guys are children.
It's like you're
rookies.
A 4-year-old at a McDonald's birthday party.
Yo, Sean would be the most difficult NBA rookie of all time.
Dude. No, I can't wait till Jordan gets older and he's like, Dad, I got an issue going on. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you got everything you want, everything you could possibly need. What do you mean?
Yeah, shut the fuck up. I'm not like that, man. If he's an NBA player, yeah, I would say that shit. If he fucking just signed into the NBA and he was like, Dad, they got me going to a ball pit, I'd be like, yo, just say fucking no. You're an NBA player. What the fuck?
Dock my pay. Don't worry about it.
Get into a ball pit? What the fuck?
I didn't even have that in mind in case you missed it, but I just wanted to hear your reaction.
Like, a no is an option. If somebody goes, hey, guys, we're going to get all four Celtics rookies in this ball pit right now, it'd be a great picture. If I'm one of the Celtics rookies, I go, no, man. Why don't we just hold basketballs and smile? Like, why the fuck are we going into a ball pit? Like, who's going to be like, wow, I really love this rookie class because they got into a ball pit.
Let me ask you this. You have a photographer already for your wedding all lined up?
If a photographer said, hey, do a silly pose, I will tell them to get the fuck out of my wedding. Like, hey, look at me with a silly face. Ah! Okay, I get a funny photographer story. This is what it reminded me of.
All right.
I was fucking grown. All right? I was like 23. My mom was like, hey, I want a picture. I know this is for me. We're going to Sears. The four boys want a picture, right? So the fucking photographer goes to my older brother, who he's a big dude. All right? Says, hey, sit on the floor with your legs spread open. And then she goes, who's second oldest? And I go, me. She just looks like down on the floor.
Like a line? Is what
with doing with like a, hey, sit in between his legs. And then we're going to put the third brother in between your legs. And I literally look at her and I go, are you fucking dumb? There's no fucking way. I'm getting... Get the fuck, mom, I'm out of here, bro. I was like, we're either taking it. We brought Patriots jerseys. Like, we're taking a picture with a Patriots jersey. I'm the fuck out. I'm not sitting there. And the photographer's like, what? What's the big deal? Jesus, don't be so sensitive. I was like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, photographers are just so friggin', I don't know, ignorant. They're ignorant to how the world works. Like, this will be artistic, man. It's okay. No, I got to go to work tomorrow to talk to my boys who, if they saw this fucking artistic picture, they're going to be like, yo, this is.
this is what it boils down to. This is what it stems down to.
If I saw someone taking that picture, I would rag on you. If you guys came through and you're like, yo, we just got a picture taken and you guys ain't a ball pit, I would rag on you guys forever. Forever.
So that's what it boils down to, huh?
Yeah. Photographers are fucking assholes.
No mental health professional, because you'll be worried about what someone's gonna say. And no wacky photographer, because you'll be worried about what they say about the photos.
I am all for mental health. If you need to go talk to somebody, just go talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. The teams don't have to fucking say, hey, everybody, this is our mental health coach, Ken. All right. He's going to be here for you all year. Anything happens, you talk to Ken. All right. Like, that should be the coach's job, to fucking help the players do whatever they're fucking going through. It's just, I don't know. I'm on a tangent here. Fucking, you brought up the fucking ball pit.
Look what you did, Joel. Jeez. Jesus Christ. That was a lot.
What the fuck happened?
I had to sit through that.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yo, what about Gilbert Arenas?
Oh, if you want to bring that up, by all means.
So go ahead. Bring it up?
Oh, yeah, bring it up.
Man. Go ahead, bro. I left that up to you. I left that up to you.
All right. In case you missed it.
Here you go. A little bonus.
In case you missed it. Bonus.
Bum, bum, bum. Now, what do you think about what Gilbert Arenas said about how the WNBA won't be popular until the women stop acting like men?
So, you know what I was saying earlier about social media? The fucking PC world we live in?
Yeah.
The way No Chill Gil worded this was like the best he could, but it still came off.
He tried to be
so like misogynistic and like, you know what? You women are tough and you're tall and you're attractive, you know, don't get me wrong, but we want to see you wear, he didn't say this, but this is what he was alluding to. We want to see you wear booty shorts and look sexier.
Yeah. Whether you're a lesbian or not.
In layman terms, that's pretty much what he meant.
Well, I'm going to read verbatim.
That's pretty much what he meant.
This is not from me.
And I got something to say about this, but go ahead. This is what my personal opinion is on this. On why the WNBA isn't as popular as the examples he mentioned. Go ahead.
So this is not from me. I'm quoting Gilbert Arenas, okay?
Disclaimer, full disclaimer.
Of course.
Now, this is what America was hoping for when they announced the WNBA back in 1996.
Which isn't true at all, but go ahead.
No. A bunch of chicks running around looking like cast members from Orange is the New Black. Don't get me wrong. They have a few cutie pies, but there are a whole lot of bean pies running around.
Sorry.
Basketball has the lowest...
I'm dying because I can hear Gilbert's voice saying this. Go ahead.
Basketball has the lowest views by men because they're mimicking men. Basketball chicks have some of the best bodies in women's sports. Lesbians are straight. We can give two shits about what they prefer in the bedroom because men prefer ass and titties. Hashtag ass and titties. That's what he says. And the last time I checked. Hashtag. Yeah, he put a hashtag in. And the last time I checked, there are 20. this is the best line. No offense, ladies. This is the best line. Last time I checked, there are 20 total titties and 10 asses running around. And for some odd reason, we're not getting it.
No chill, Gil.
What we're getting is tats, dreads, high socks, baggy shorts, elbow pads. Sounds like men attire to me. The sport will continue to be lesser viewed and underpaid compared to other female sports.
So in other words, he wants to see them like in bra and panties running around.
Yo,
sports bras and tight shorts.
So
that would rejuvenate the WNBA, according to Gilbert Arenas.
You know how many
WNBA current and former players were like when the league started, they kind of were going down that route in terms of trying to like promote it, like having their players in dresses and like tight dresses and like, the women play basketball too. We're not only just being classy and have to look right. Nice.
Yeah. Tina Thompson had the lipstick.
Yeah.
You know, Cynthia Cooper was like the MJ, quote unquote MJ, even though she was like, what, like 36 or something? Yeah. She was up there.
Yeah, but
she wasn't in the WBA that long because she was, you know, past her prime, so to speak.
Because of the Olympic team that won in 96.
Exactly. And they were so popular because of that.
We got to ride this wave.
Right.
We got to make these women look
Cheryl
like, you know,
Soups.
We got to make these women look, you know, not only like attractive, but like they can ball. Too.
Okay. So this actually helps my point, Joe. I'm glad you brought this up. Why were they so popular though? Because they dominated, right?
Exactly.
They dominated. The examples he brought up, he talked about how Serena Williams, you know, she's got the tennis outfit and she's, you know, she's good looking and that's what helps sells. No. The reason why she was so successful is because she was dominant.
Yeah.
My whole thing with the WNBA is that they don't have a dominant player. Okay. For you diehard WNBA, fans, I'm sure there's like that one or two players that are like the clear cut best player in the league.
Yeah.
But they don't dominate the league.
Yeah.
There isn't that person that's just like crushing records. Yeah. There isn't someone out there dropping 40 points a game. Like, I think that's what separates them from the Serena Williamses or he had another example. I feel bad.
He basically said tennis players.
Right. Tennis players because they dominate. You don't have the quote-unquote LeBron James of this league. You don't have someone that's just going to raise eyebrows or someone who's just like dunking on people left and right every night.
But that's up to the sponsors, man. I mean, here's the thing. If you're a successful WNBA player, because there have been many, Diana Taurasi, Shamiqua Holdsquaw, all these players that have come through over the years, they left the league early because they could make more money doing other shit.
Yeah.
Like playing in the WNBA wasn't making them any money, wasn't getting them any sponsorships. So why would they stick around?
Well, like Taurasi
plays for a while because she's like.
And in the offseason, she goes to Europe to play.
Yeah.
And she probably makes guap out there.
Guap. Why did you say that?
I haven't heard that in a while.
Shit. But I will say, the WNBA is at a crossroads. WNBA is at a crossroads. Not because Arena said this, but it's an interesting point. I mean, they can become
as intelligent as Gilbert thinks he sounds. I don't think it's going to affect the WNBA.
Okay,
he thought he was really on to something.
Yeah, I'm going to say this.
It's like, yeah, he took like that one too many hits on the weed.
The same guy who brought guns into the arena and thought that was okay.
Not the smartest guy.
Yeah,
but he sort of does have a little bit of a point because if you're not going to pay and promote and successfully market your league, look at the WWE. Mm. All they do in women's wrestling is ass and titties.
Yeah. So what are you saying? That you want to see?
No, I don't want to see
doing
it.
Victoria's Secret commercials.
I don't care. I don't want to see it.
No, I know, but I'm saying you think that would help.
I'm just saying if they went the WWE route, they would make a mockery of the sport, but it would be more popular.
No, but I mean, again, because of the PC culture world that we are currently going through or living in WWE, yeah, they might dress a certain way, but they've focused more on like the actual talent. Cause there's more talented. Cause I'm a watcher and you see that there's actual
nerd
talent. I don't care what you think about me, bro. All right. Okay. There's actual talent. So then with the WNBA, there's talent. No one's denying that there's talent.
True.
But they've been complacent on trying to push the product as much.
Name me one ugly WWE diva.
Ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, it's hard to compare these guys, they're trained.
But that's,
these wrestlers are trained. Yeah. Like, you have to have a certain skill set to be in the WNBA, whereas in the you know, WWE, like, no offense, but like, yeah, okay, the skill's there, but you also have to have a pretty face. Like, the WNBA isn't picking women off the street because they look good and then training them how to play basketball.
You don't think Brittany Griner could dominate the WWE? She'd be the best wrestler in the WWE.
But by your metrics, she wouldn't fit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Candace Parker, perfect example.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
She's beautiful.
Multiple, hot. Yeah, she's won championships. Who was the other one before that they used to play together? And she was the first WNBA player to dunk. Her name is Casey.
Lisa Leslie.
Was she attractive by this? I'm sorry. I'm saying by the standards.
Let's not go down dark.
Rewind.
No,
I got you. Keep going.
Rebecca Lobo next.
So by the standards, what you're saying or what Gilbert's trying to say.
What Joel's saying is the skill set. Back to my point.
Right.
You need to have that person or a few players that just dominate the sport. Yeah, and I don't know how you can fix something like that without just having it happen naturally.
They
organically.
Fucked up. I think it actually goes to like the lack of focus on women's sports because you saw when It built up. When it built up forever, and you had probably like 15 years of people who didn't have a professional league to play in, and then in 96 when it launched, you had the best players that everyone was trying to see.
Yeah.
Leslie, Cooper, mm-hmm. Bobo, Schwoops, all these players who were just coming and like, wow, we finally got a league to play in.
I can name all the teams those players played for.
Me too, because it was cool.
It was cool, yeah.
But then as it went on.
Raised the roof.
As it went on and like, you know, everyone was like, well, I'm like 40 now, so I'm out.
Yeah.
Those superstars didn't last. They didn't fill them up soon enough. They are what the MLS was. They both came. Both leagues started in 1996. Both leagues came out with a bang. Mm. Both leagues were riding high of the Olympics team and the World Cup being in the United States. I mean, I hate to say but the MLS, as bad as they've done, they've done better than the WNBA.
Yeah, but why is that though?
Star power.
No, because they're grabbing star power from the Europeans
and their men.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious, but they're grabbing players that. They're maybe past their prime,
right?
But they're gonna fill the seats.
It's the draw.
Yeah, it's the draw.
I mean, I've been trying to go see Wayne Rooney's hands. He went to DC United.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Ibrahimovic. You know, these guys are past their prime, but people want to come see them.
Kaká.
And you know, if I had to guess, probably Cristiano at one point is gonna go down that road as well.
I'm hoping that's our big first signing of the Revolution.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why isn't Revolution? What? Oh, I guess it makes perfect sense. No one wants to be in. In New England, though, that's the thing. Everyone wants to go play in L.A. and
New York.
Yeah, New York. Well done, Sean. Your debut. In case you missed the segment, there you go.
That was a good one, though. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Now, when you said the article, I said we got something here. But he did the best he could to not sound like a jock. But that was the best you're gonna get out of Gil.
Yeah, he did. He sounded like a
locker room conversation.
Misogynistic. I didn't watch ESPN today, but I'm sure that you know that segment where all the women just talk. They probably shit all over him.
You think this came up?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I always say it's a star power. You know, you don't have that guy that draw. You don't have that one player because you know it's cut above the rest.
You mean no one's taking the guy who does a podcast with a former porn star serious? The fuck out of here.
Who's the porn star?
Mia Khalifa.
Mia Khalifa, man.
They got a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you missed it,
you can go multiple ways with this shit because, you know, if you're not going to take someone's opinion seriously because you're like, oh, she used to do porn, so what she know about sports?
Yeah.
Or I like watching, you know, a certain commentator talk about sport, not what she says, but because of how she looks.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Let's see what Mia Khalifa feels about this situation.
Until next week, everybody.
Tune into the next episode of Agent Zero and
MK.
I don't got a good porn joke. Sorry, guys.
Just trying. All right. Well, on that note, good job there, Sean.
Hey, you did it, man.
Yeah. No. And as always, you know, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street and hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. And until next time, and ladies, I hope you're still listening to us. You know, it's just
We stood up for the ladies today.
Yeah, you know what? Tell your friends about us.
Yeah. We have a lot of Causeway Street listeners that are females, and we appreciate the support.
We do appreciate you guys. And you know, on another note, no, I'm just kidding. All right, peace.